book of Luke. The book of Luke. And we're going to go to chapter 5. Chapter 5. And I'm going to take my time today. It's more of a conversation today. I don't want to preach at you. Because I'm not preaching just at you. I'm preaching at myself when I preach. But I want us to have a conversation. Because it's important, you know, what God is pouring out into the Spirit in this time. It's very important that we receive it, that we digest it, that we eat it, and that it comes forth. So we're going to Luke chapter 5. When you have it, please say amen. All right, I got a lot of amens there. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11, but we're going to focus on 8 through 11, mainly through the scripture, but just to give you a little backstory. And it reads, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood at the lake of Gennesaret." This is also the Sea of Galilee. "And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's," also known as Peter later, "and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." And I'm going to read that last one more time. "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and they followed him." The word of God for the people of God. Today I want to come to you from the subject titled, A Silent Yes. A Silent Yes. You see, here we have Simon Peter, and he's actually with his brother Andrew. And this is when Jesus had gone through the 40 days of wilderness. He had been tempted for 40 days during that time. And then he starts healing, and he starts preaching and speaking and doing all these different things, right? And he comes, and he finally says, you know what? I got to go to Galilee, and I got to preach the word. We got to go to the synagogues in Galilee, and I have to preach the word. So he starts to do this. And he's walking along the way, and he's at the Sea of Galilee, and he sees these ships. And as we just read, he wants to get into the boat because there's a multitude that's pressing towards him, following him to hear his word because he's healing. He's doing all these different things. So he gets on the ship so that he could speak to the whole multitude. He gets on the ship and he's like, hey, can I use your ship? Think about Jesus being on your boat. Can I use that? Right? And some people are like, yeah, like we out here trying to clean our nets, you know? And so he's preaching to the multitude. And I imagine Simon was listening, you know, he was right there. And one thing about Simon, before he became Peter, he was a husband, right? He had a wife. And we know that because in chapter 4, Jesus came and healed his mother-in-law when she had a fever. And he was also a fisherman. He had a business with his brother and with James and John and Zebedee. And so this was kind of who he was before. And I'm wondering, you know, think about the time who you were before Christ, before you had that encounter with Christ, before he asked you to come follow him, or before he called you, because those are two different things. And so Simon then became Peter long after. And he became a fisher of men. So before he was fishing for fish for his business. But then Jesus used that to fish for men. And so he was called to be a disciple. He was one of the first to be called to be a disciple. He then became the first to confess that Jesus was the Messiah, which Jesus said, your name will now be Peter or Cephas, where I will build my church on the rock. You will be what I build the church on, is his belief in who he is. And then he was also the first of the early church. And so when we're talking about this silent yes, Peter really didn't say much during this time when this miracle occurred. And so when we go to verse 8, 9, and 10, this point is a silent yes to a new purpose. So his purpose before was a fisherman, being this fisherman. He got this fish and he fed his family and he had this business. And then now God is trying to take him to somewhere new. Jesus is trying to bring him over with him. And so it reads, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. I think for just one moment, he maybe had a moment of doubt, right? Because here's the thing. Jesus told him, put out your nets again. They were washing their nets because they were done. They're like, we didn't catch nothing all night. We've been working all night. How many of you feel like you've been working all night? Ain't nothing happening, right? You tired? But they didn't have any excuses. They didn't say how tired they were and the fact that, you know, man, I was working so hard and I just really don't feel like putting these nets back over. They didn't say all that. He said, at your word, at thy word, I will put down my net one more time. At God's word. But see, what we have to remember is that at the word, the whole world was created. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be water and lakes and all of the things, and that happened. Let there be stars and moons and the sun, and that happened at his word. So how many of us know that at his word, anything and everything can come to pass? How many of us know that at his word, we can be healed? And so what Peter says is at your word, because I know that you just healed my mother-in-law. I saw that first miracle, but it's different when Jesus comes directly down your street. You see somebody else over here getting blessed, but then something happens and he comes directly to you. And it's like, man, I just saw him put all, we've been out here all night. And I just saw Jesus say, put your net into the water again. When we've been out here all night. And it was so much fish that it began to sink the boat. And James and John had to come and help to fill their boats as well. That's the kind of God that we serve. And so Jesus says, so what did Peter do? His response? His response was nonverbal. He fell down. He did say he fell down and he said, I am not worthy of this. Like, who am I? Why did I doubt? Ask, and have you ever doubted God and what he said? Have you ever had moments where it's just like, you know what, like, God, I know that you said that this was going to happen, but I just really don't know, right? Because we only focus on what we can see in the natural, but God sees in the spirit. And then at his word, he can do anything. It's just his word. He has to say it one time. He could even think something and it has to happen. And so what's significant about this is that when he tells them to put the nets in the water, I imagine Jesus was telling the fish to go jump in the net because everything has to obey the Lord, right? And so God is working on that situation on the other side as well. He's talking to the fish and he's telling you to put those nets down. But what if he said no? Oh, what would happen? And so we've got to make sure that when we hear God and we hear God clearly, first of all, we have to be humble. We've got to show some humility. We don't know everything. And the things that we do and the things and how we help people has nothing to do with us. It is how God uses us. I cannot get up here and preach a word from Tierra's mouth. I can't. I have to move myself completely out of the way and allow God to take over and allow his voice, his mind to flow through me. I would not be doing you any justice if it was Tierra's word. It's God's word. And so it's important that we recognize that in ourselves. And Pastor last week talked about, you know, this personal reflection of ourselves to examine ourselves. And there are times, people of God, that we have to examine ourselves to see and to really understand, where are we? Are we humble enough to lay down and to get on our face and to say, Jesus, I'm not worthy of this. Jesus, I am sorry. He wants to spend time with each and every one of us. And he wants to, you know, have that intimacy with you. And sometimes even for myself, I have to, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I should have got up 30 minutes earlier to sit with you because it's worth it. And so we have to have that humility inside of heart, that humbleness to understand that we have to examine ourselves and that we have to, you know, listen to the Lord and hear his voice and to know. But we can't do that if we don't humble ourselves. Because if it's all about me and what I did, self-righteous. I need a righteousness in the Lord. I need to strive after what he wants for me. I need to strive after what he says is right for my life. And so here, when Peter has laid himself down, he was just in such awe, such astonishment. He was astonished. And he was like, man, like, I didn't heard about these miracles. I saw you heal my mother-in-law, but you just made all them fish come into this net right before my eyes. And it brought him to his knees. And I don't know about y'all, but God has brought me to my knees in so many situations in which I know it was nobody but him. And that's why I wake up every morning and I rejoice in all the things that he is doing in my life. It wasn't always beautiful. It wasn't always pretty. We still have our moments. But he's there. And I think that's the best part about it, is that he wants us to come alongside this journey with him. He calls us so that we can be near, so that we can be close to him. Excuse me. And so then Jesus says, fear not. From henceforth, you shall catch men. So although Peter did not necessarily say, yes, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, he got on his knees. And that was just a symbolic moment saying, yes, Jesus, like, I believe. Yes, Jesus, I will follow you. And so when Jesus said, please do not be afraid. I know you just saw that miracle. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Know that I am with you and that I am now going to make you catchers of men. So I've showed you how I can put all these fish in your nets, but now let's go get some men, right? And so what I love about this is that Jesus did not reprimand him for his doubt or his fear. He didn't get upset with him because he was afraid. All he said was, fear not. Don't be afraid. And so I tell each and every one of you, regardless of what God has called you to, or if he's calling you to just follow him, maybe you don't know Jesus. Don't be afraid. He is comfort. He is love. He is gentle. And people want to think that following Jesus is all about rules. And it's not. It's about freedom. It is about being free in the spirit and allowing yourself to know a God that created you. To know a God that knows you better than you know yourself. And I like to think I know myself pretty well. But Jesus, he know what I'm going to do before I even think to do it. And so to know and to be in relationship with someone like that is probably the most beautiful thing that you could do for yourself. It's to surrender to him and to give everything over to him. And it doesn't have to be this big miraculous thing, like just fall at your knees. Don't be afraid and let Jesus do what he's going to do in your life. And, you know, when I answered this call, I think like my biggest fear or my biggest thing was, It was a fear. I was afraid to be successful. I was afraid to be great. I know that sounds really like crazy, but it's a real thing. I was afraid to allow God to use me because I didn't know if I could handle all of the things, right? And so I would back away and I would just do it very mediocre. Oh God, well, I ministered to those kids and I ministered to those people. I did what you told me to do, but God has called me to so much greater. And there are times where I shrink because I'm afraid. Lack of confidence, right? Sometimes that happens and it's okay, but we don't have to put our confidence in ourselves. We put our confidence in God. And so when we truly connect that confidence to the Lord, whatever goes wrong, he got it. I don't have to worry about it. And so we've got to make sure that we take that into consideration, that we digest that, that we stay in that, and that we know that Jesus is Lord and he is in control of even the fish that he's trying to get in your net, right? And so as we continue to go down, you know, God is giving each and every one of us an invitation. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter what you've been through, what you haven't been through. All that matters is that yes, to a new purpose, to a new place. And so maybe God has been calling you. Maybe you've been coming to Christ Unveiled for a while and you're like, man, I love coming to this church. It's great worship. It's great word. We know that they're preaching Jesus here, but what's next for me? How do I get involved in the body of Christ? How do I present my purpose? And I think we as humans, we make like small purposes, small, big, but no purpose is bigger than the other. I have many, you know, like mentors that I feel like serve a huge purpose in my life, or people that take me under their wing because God said so. And like, that is a thing that maybe seems small to somebody else, but to me, that is gigantic. That God would place me on that person's heart to be able to mold me and to pour into me, right? And so no purpose is any smaller or bigger than the other. All he wants is your yes. And he will use you to your ability. And so outside of the yes to this new purpose, this new place, it's a new environment, right? He tells you not to fear. Well, then he goes into this silent yes to a radical change. A silent yes to a radical change. Verse 11 says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and they followed him. This is my favorite part. I got to read it again. And they had brought their ships to land. They forsook all and followed him. When they saw this miracle, we remember that they were excited. They were astonished. And they were in complete awe of Jesus Christ. They were just, oh my gosh. And it caused them to have immediate obedience. Immediate. They didn't have to think about it. It was like, man, I'm following him. He didn't put all these fish in these nets. I'm going with him. So imagine this. Their business was being fishers of men, and they have all these fish, and that's probably the most fish they've ever caught in their entire lives. And they were willing to leave all of that, which probably could have given them some pretty good money, just to follow Jesus Christ. And I say just, but just is not, that is what? To follow Jesus. They left all these fish to go with him. They forsake all. So Simon Peter, he had a family, right? He had a business. But all four of them, they said, you know what? Like, we going with you. You got the stuff. And so I come to you today and I say, hey, like, I'm letting you know Jesus has the stuff. And all he wants is your yes. And so they forsook all. They departed from everything that they had. They followed him, which means they accompanied him on the way. They were side by side with him. You know, I read this book one time. It's called Not a Fan. And it was about, you know, this guy, he wrote a book and it was about sports, right? And y'all know how we are as fans. Like, we, you know, get excited. It's March Madness right now. And, you know, I love basketball. And so, you know, you're yelling and screaming for the team, the underdogs, you know, all these upsets, all these different things. You're rooting for them, right? Those are fans, right? But when we follow someone, when we follow, we're right there behind them, right beside them, right?
Women, we're called to follow our husband. We walk right beside them, right with them, right? And so that is how we are supposed to stay close to the Lord. We are supposed to walk right beside him, right with him. And that's what Jesus was doing. They were running their business, and when he called them, they physically came near to him. But they didn't know how they were going to change dramatically, spiritually. And that's what happens when we leave and we forsake everything that is important to us to follow Jesus. That is one of the most important, that is the important thing, to leave everything that we have to follow him. And so in this sermon, I'm asking you a series of questions, but are you willing? Are you willing to leave everything that God says leave in order to follow him? That's a real question, because sometimes we say yes, but not right now. Yes, let me go over here and do this. Is that a real yes? No. And I'm saying that because I've been there. Remember my fear. So I answered the call 12 years ago, but I didn't preach a word till 2018. Fear. Imagine what God could have done. But I still obeyed. I got my yes in order. And if we know Peter, and we know when he became from Simon to Peter and all the great things that he did do, right? He still denied Jesus at some point. So do we make mistakes? Absolutely. Are we always going to get it right? No. We're not going to get it right. But what's important is that we give him that yes. And so when they walked over and they went over for this radical change, it was silent. They just came to the land and they followed him. They didn't say a word. They didn't hug him. They didn't, there was nothing. It was, I'm following you. And what's important about this, y'all, is that Jesus wants us so badly that he'll call us multiple times. Right? Any of y'all been called multiple times? Like, hey, I told you to come, go on and come. And you'll say no, but God will put you right back on track. He'll let you go through your no and go through all the consequences, all the distractions, all the things, but he'll always bring you right back where you're supposed to be. And so it's very important. I would rather say yes the first time, right? Personally, but that doesn't always happen, and that's okay. But it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? And lean not unto your own understanding, but in always acknowledge him. So you've got to trust him in everything that you do, in all that you do. You've got to have a willingness to follow him. You've got to have obedience. You've got to have humility and full trust in the Lord. That is what God is calling us to do. That is what our silent yes is about. And so if you want a radical change, you don't have to be all loud with it. You don't have to scream it to the world, but take that silent yes to Jesus. Fall at your knees. Remember, he understands the moans and the groans in our hearts and in our minds. When we can't get it out, when you're crying so hard that you can't get all the words out, he understands that. And that's how well he knows us. And so I know that you guys have experienced miracles just as I have. I've had health miracles. I've had, you know, just situations where I put myself in bad situations and God got me up out of there. Miracle after miracle after miracle. But some of the miracles that we fail to remember are the breaths that we have in our lungs, the eyes that we have to see, the legs that we have to walk, the hands that we have to touch. Those are miracles that we experience every single day. So maybe you haven't lived life for a long time. You're 13, 14, 15 years old, whatever the case is, but you have a miracle in your lungs right now. And so in that miracle, you should be at awe with Jesus Christ. You should be astonished at the fact that you woke up this morning. We should be astonished. We should be excited at the fact that, hey, you know what? Like, I didn't get it right yesterday, but he woke me up today. He allowed me to have another opportunity, another chance to follow him and to be in relationship with him. I don't have to say anything to my husband about my yes. This was all action. And I know that we all have lip service. We all want to say all the great things that we want to do for the Lord. And it's great thoughts, but it's nothing until we put it to action. And I'm talking to myself. I know that I need to do more, right? But I don't know how to go to sleep at night. And so we have to sacrifice those things in order to grow closer to Him, in order to be, to walk alongside with Him. That silent yes. And so again, it doesn't have to be loud, but it's just between you and Jesus. And I wonder, I said earlier, what if Simon Peter didn't obey? What if he didn't put down his net? Would Jesus have called somebody else? Would we be talking about someone else right now? What would have happened? Who knows? But to see a miracle like that and do nothing, I can't imagine life without Simon Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times. But I ask you on today, what if you said no? What if Jesus has been calling you to do something, a radical change, a new purpose? What if you said no? All of the people that would be, that are assigned to you, that you're supposed to pour into, that you're supposed to give Jesus to them. If we come to church every Sunday and Wednesday or Tuesday and Friday up for prayer, but we do nothing with it and we say no to Jesus, are we really doing what He's called us to do? What if you said no? Who would fall at the wayside? Your children? We love our children. If you said no, what about your mother-in-law that doesn't know Jesus? What about your work, your coworkers? We all have a responsibility. And one thing that God's going to ask us when we get to heaven on judgment day is He's going to say, did you do what I told you to do? Did you say yes to me? And He's not going to wait for any excuses. Peter had no excuses. He just said, man, we've been toiling all night, Jesus. Like, what? But at your word, Lord. So maybe you are tired. Maybe you're struggling with going to bed at night like me. And all I can say is, Lord, at your word. Lord, whatever you want me to do, whatever you ask me to do, God, I'll say yes. But my silent yes, it's not words. It's action. And so I pray that you would take this word. I pray that you would digest it. I know it was wasn't my normal, right? A little calm today. But it's a good word. And it's a word that the Lord wanted us all to hear. And so if you would stand, I want you to take this time. And I really want you to close your eyes and you have a conversation with God about your yes, your silent yes. And I want you to ask Him, God, what would you have me to do? You can lift up your hands. You can do whatever you need to do. Kneel. But whatever it is, you have your way. And you talk to your God that created you. God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you called Peter the rock that the church sits on, who was the first to believe that you were the Messiah. And we thank you for his silent yes. And on today, oh God, we ask that every person that is attending this word, would give their own silent yes, oh God. That you would speak to each and every one of them, Lord. To ignite a fire in them, God. To perform the action that you have called them to. Us too, Lord. Continue to push us if we're already active in our purpose. And help us, Lord, to endure and to persevere. God, we honor who you are to us, our creator. The person that breathes into us each and every day, that keeps us in our right minds. And we surrender everything over to you, God, and give you our silent yes. In Jesus' name.
Amen. The word of God says obedience is better than sacrifice. That silent yes in our heart, whatever we just told the Lord yes to, yes, I'll minister to that neighbor. Yes, I'll minister to that lost family member. Yes, I'll minister to that coworker. I'll answer your call to minister your word, Lord. I'll help out in the ministry. I'll walk in your way. Whatever that silent yes was, be obedient to whatever that yes was. I know in my life, there's been many times I just turn and try to run away. But like Sister Tierra said, the Lord will find his way. He'll let you go through all those no's and all those distractions and everything. But he always has a way of bringing you back in line. What does the word of God say? I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. And those that are young, when you say yes to the Lord and you continue in that way, he will continue to guide you. He has you in his hand, no doubt. The elders in this room, they know as well too. They've been walking with him for a long time. Amen. If you haven't had a chance to give, we do need your support in the ministry. We thank those that have joined us by webcast as well. Hopefully we'll see you at the 11 o'clock service. Also, please remember to support us with our Pakistan van. I know as of last week, we have donated roughly about between 4,500 and 5,000. So let's pull together and hit our mark so that we can be a support to our brothers and sisters in Pakistan. Amen. One last thing, March 30th, if y'all have not sat under Jason Stidham, please come on out and listen to the evangelist minister the word of God in Jesus' name. The word was good this morning. Amen. Let's just say a quick prayer and dismiss each other. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for using your vessel through Tierra this morning. We thank you, Father God, that you have brought your word and corrected us in it as well, too, Lord God. And what we've said yes to, Lord God, this morning to you, help guide us and pull us closer to you, Father God, because we're only drawn by your love and the things that you do for us and your goodness toward us, Lord God. Father, again, forgive us for any missteps or being outside your will. And those that are here this morning, we ask, Father God, that you, if they're outside of your will, that you bring them back into your fold and your guidance and your direction, Father, so that we may continue to serve you. Father, we thank you for your love and we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.